that up front, because it's a confusing point of a lot of the statements Brother Branham makes. Is confusing if you don't lay it in perfect order and get it right. You know, it is confusing, because it does look like that he taught it one way and he taught it another way and backwards and forth. But I've always been one that's kind of, I guess when you see a controversial point, that it stirs my curiosity. All right? And I don't mean, because I'm not going to argue with you about nothing that way. I'm not going to, you know, I don't mean that the wrong way. I just mean when things like Daniel 70 weeks, where Brother Branham said, if you don't understand Daniel 70 weeks, you can't understand the seals. I didn't say that. He did. Well, then, you know, I began to study in that realm to see what he was really talking about, to try to bring it to understanding and things. And, you know, he'd stand and he'd say, let's stand now. We'll approach or pray to the third person of the Trinity. When you know he never taught a Trinitarian doctrine. See, and those things, when they come up, see, it makes people think that there's so many contradictions and things throughout the message, and they think the same thing of the Bible, because they don't wait long enough for it to be able to come together and be a revelation. And I don't claim to understand everything, but I'm just saying that does bring me to a point that I think, well, now the people needs to understand. And we were listening last night to a tape. I would ask you to listen to one where, let's see, I'll try to get it. I believe it's 59. But it's discernment of spirits. And in that message, Brother Branham is very, very adamant about explaining that it's not what a person believes. He said, I can put up with anything, you know. He said, but it's according to what they live. You know, paraphrasing, bringing down a whole message. It's what they live. He said, you can have all the word and still miss it. But you can't have all the revealed word and miss it. So now that puts it in a different category, right? So then, now that's just what we'll try to do this afternoon. So bear with me if I'm a little lengthy on it, okay? But now, we talked about justification, just trying to background a hair, that we know and realize that no one can come to God according to John 6:44. See, Jesus said no man can come except the Father draw him. All right? Then you'd say, you know, and I tried to emphasize and get the point across, that you'd say, well, how do we know that God is drawing us? Well, why are you concerned? Something must be drawing us, or we would not be concerned. The devil is certainly not going to try to draw us. Sure, he'll draw us to his way, but a point. But see, you know, so then the Bible does say, and we love it, towards Matthew 5:6, where blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, why? For they shall be filled. The prophet said it's a blessing to have a hunger. Well, can't you see then that what I was trying to explain, that even a person who'd never heard of God, but in the form of, we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, our one God, that he's worshiping a totem pole or something, but he has that soul within him that longs out to know about his Creator. Well, you know, he's being drawn, right? Because he goes to that form. So then it's wonderful to think about how that God would call us. And I wrote it like this. Why would we be concerned if God wasn't calling us? Well, I mean, what would you be concerned about? Why you're in church? What are you doing? What's the point if you don't know whether God is calling you or not? So then don't worry about whether he's calling you. Just make sure you follow the rest of the scripture to make your calling and election sure. They just go on with the rest of the word. We certainly didn't put the thirst or desire for God into our own selves, because we had a thirst and a desire for the world, all right? For Satan and his doing, all right? But now, let's go on as we start into this second work, and as I said, I just quoted these, that we don't believe in three works of grace. The prophet would say works. That's fine, as long as you understand what you're saying. Because it's not three works of grace, it's three stages of the same God, because it's not three gods, it's justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all comes together to make one. All right. So then as we'll get to it this evening, that will help you a lot to remember that each one is a work of the Holy Spirit, but it's the same Holy Spirit. The prophet said the same Holy Spirit that justified the Lutheran, sanctified the Methodist, baptized the Pentecostal.
Right.
All right? Same Holy Spirit. It's just God in his ways of working his form of salvation to bring it to that.
Right.
All right? So keep that in your mind now as we start into the message. Because we certainly don't want to have one God of a justification and another one to sanctify us and then another one to fill us. You know, or something like that, or Trinitarian concept. We want to hold together with the one true and the living God. All right. Now, so it's the Holy Spirit in us bringing forth the salvation that he wants us to have. But we've got to accept that. Now, that was the point I tried to get across where, you know, people say, oh, but it's not whether I accept him, it's whether he accepts me. Well, that's good. We'll get to that this afternoon. Because when you get to baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's truly when God accepts you. So that will go in with that part. But see, then it's not to just say that we don't accept him, because if you don't accept him, he can't accept you. You must believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. It's not that you get saved and then you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. You got to do that to be saved. See, we do have something to do with that part, but the salvation is of God, because he's doing the work. And his goodness is what leads us to repentance. And truly we're to see that the sanctification then would be, you know, something working within us to try to bring us to a place that God could be pleased to dwell. All right. Now, we know that the disciples were justified, and I know what the prophet would say, even of the word that he says their potential, but just remember it is justified. They were justified by believing. The reason he's calling justification and sanctification to the disciples, now, you know, the disciples with him, is because the Holy Ghost had not been given. And the Holy Ghost could not be inside of them, they working it. It was a working upon them, but not inside of them in their soul to, you know, the new birth wasn't in there. Jesus Christ hadn't died. All right. So then we look at it that they were believing unto. They were justified potentially, sanctified potentially, because they were believing unto. All right. And believing unto, they were in good shape. But just remember, in that stage, we can lose it too. If we're just believing unto. If we haven't come to the place to be sealed in by the Holy Spirit, we can lose that part, what we call salvation. We went through that. But the disciples were justified by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he was the one who had come to die in their place. You know, they maybe not understood what he was saying, but yet they did believe him. All right? There was a lot of people believed in. If you'll read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find a lot of people believed. But yet they didn't go on. But the disciples went on with him because Peter, you know, he said, where can we go? He confessed him as being the Christ, the Son of the living God. All right? And see, that's what we do of our justification. We repent of our sins, we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we go forth confessing the work that he has done within us to save us, you know, confessing him to be the Savior, declaring him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. All right. And in doing that, then we realize what has taken place. Remember Peter, it was told to him when he said, thou art the Christ. In other words, his confession. It was told Peter there in Matthew 16:18 verse, upon this rock I'll build my church, upon the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right? So then remember when we started in justification that we were talking about he that cometh to God, the scripture says, must believe that God is, not was. History can prove he was. I don't save you to say he was. It's when you can say he is. And when he comes to us to repent of our sins and condemns us, that is a present tense condemning us. It's not that we do, and that's why the prophet said, I'm against altar calls in the basis of trying to force people to an altar or tell them, your mother was a good Christian. You know, if you want to go to heaven with your daddy or your family, you need to be saved. He said, "That don't do that." Why? Because it's not a work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit at repentance is a present tense God. I hope you was catching that when I tried to bring it out, you know, of that God is. Even at justification, even to get you to repent of your sins, it brings a present tense God into our presence. So I hope you would catch on to that and hang on. All right? We know then the disciples went on further than just believing, because John 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In other words, sanctify them, cleanse them. And how were they sanctified? Now remember, it wasn't in John 1. That's when there's believing. That's when there's repenting. You know, you understand the reason I'm saying John 1? I'm talking about, it's not in the first chapter of John. It's in the 17th chapter. They had went on for a while before they came to a place that he would speak of sanctification. All right? Because he knew what was in their lives. All right? So then when Jesus spoke of it, he was speaking of their journey in their salvation. And he said, sanctify them through thy truth. See, they had heard the word from the Lord Jesus. Right, you say, well, Brother Dale, sanctification is just, you know, I just quit smoking. I quit dipping snuff. I quit chewing. I quit doing this, that, or the other. Well, that's not sanctification. See, that's what I'm saying, that people don't understand it. People call that sanctification. Where is you quitting something being sanctification? That would be your righteousness. If sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit, and that's what your prophet said it was, so then it wouldn't be that I quit. It would be that something happened to me to make me quit. Not me quitting. That's why the prophet will go on to say, you know, that even drinking, gambling, smoking, said that's not sin. Then we get all confused with those statements. But sanctification is not just because you quit something. It's when the unclean spirit goes out. All right? See, that would be dealing then with something on the interior. Now watch what I'm saying and listen. Justification is just a repentance from an honest heart. The prophet said, does nothing to the future. They're in the future home we read the other day. But sanctification is not just driving out the unclean spirit out of your spirit. Now listen. The unclean spirit is coming out of the soul. Amen. We certainly need it out of our spirit. But all that happened to the soul of the individual at justification was just chopping off the things they had done, erasing them. All right? But sanctification starts dealing with a point, and I'll repeat these as we go along, but it's like Brother Brown said in the future home, he said, Jesus, you know, dropped his blood upon this earth to cleanse and claim it. And remember, your body was right in there. So your body's already claimed. It was in the earth because he done that. All right? But see, claiming it, not to just wash it, to claim it. He claimed this earth by dropping his blood on it. All right? Our bodies, as I said, was in there. But what he was claiming was the soul of man. And doing that, the disciples had come through justification by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had become sanctified, according to St. John 17 there, by the hearing of the word, or the washing of the word. They heard the word. They'd come to a place, like I said, Peter said, where can we go? You know, we can't go back to fishing. We could do that. They tried it, but it didn't work after the death of Jesus Christ. But he said, where can we go? In other words, what church can we go to? Where can we find a place that'll help us? That we can't do it. That we just stay with you. We don't understand, but we'll just stay with you. See, what was happening, the word, get it? And we'll get more into sanctification. The word that is planted into your soul, the prophet of God, we gave one there the other day, where he said, you're begotten like a baby in the womb of a mother. Begotten. See, that's what happens at sanctification. That unclean spirit, as Jesus said, goes out. See, it's driven out by the planting of the word. All right? Now see, if we take these and if we went on to greater depth, then you know where we would be going. Is that Brother Brown said that there was a mysterious part about justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost under the seals. So we'd be going on dealing with you and I right now. What do you mean, Brother Dale? I was sanctified a long time ago, but that unclean spirit keeps trying to come back. That's in a born-again believer. It keeps trying to come back on you and I. It keeps trying to take us back into the things that we've done. So we have to keep on dying daily, as Paul said, to ourselves. Just because we're born again don't give you a right to just sit down and say, well, don't matter what I do. No. You're more concerned about what you do after you're born again than you are before you're born again. All right? But see, sanctification, it's like the prophet said, you pick up a glass out of the yard. He said, that's justification. You got a reason for it. He said, you don't take it in the house and put water in it. He said, you sanctify it. You scald it. You cleanse it. All right? But he said, that's still not in service now. He said, it's just washed the vessel to get it clean. All right? So now when we repented of our sins, that's what most people think, though. They come to an altar and they repent of their sins. And they feel good because they're repentant. Well, they think it's all finished. That's good Baptist, man. I got it when I believed. You know. Well, where in the message do you hear people preach that you must be justified, sanctified, to be able to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? They've got forgotten all about that. They're so great, so mysterious mysteries are the great things. And how can you preach the mysteries if you don't understand the simplicity? Right? See, I'm just honest. I try to say things to get you to think about your salvation. See, what happened to you? Then you might find out what happened to you wasn't enough. Because at justification, you get rid of a load of sin. Makes you feel good. You go to church. You get baptized. You start reading your Bible. Well, what's happening? That word then starts driving out that unclean spirit. Oh, I just want you to pray for me, Brother Dale. And this I know this ain't going to go across good to the people of the message. Go ahead. You out there on the internet, you just remember old Brother Dale's crazy. But I always have believed. When I heard the prophet, and I've told you about it, that I never did say I was had the baptism of the Holy Ghost because I came in the message. Yet I was a deacon at 23 years old in a church. honored by the people because of my ability to teach and do things. But yet, when I saw what he was talking about, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I knew I didn't have it. I believed I was living a sanctified, clean life, but I didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, see, I wanted to know what the baptism of the Holy Ghost was then. So I started reading all I could read that the prophet would tell of it. You know, then I found out what he was talking about, justification. And I thought, well, that's good. Now let me walk that. Even though I'd been walking maybe that line of repentance of my sins, but I hadn't been baptized correctly, so that was one point. But God winked at our ignorance when we was baptized wrong. But then when we heard the truth, we got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. See, and then when we did, we started repenting not just that time, you know, not just repent of your sins and then you don't repent no more. I mean, I hope that didn't happen to anybody. I mean, it should be a daily repentance. But we don't have to repent for what we've done two times. You know what I'm saying? Repented for what we was and was born that way and done, fine. That's why the prophet said you don't repent for what Adam done. Well, see, Adam, what Adam them done made us the way we are. It looks like he's telling us something wrong, doesn't it? But he said, you don't have to repent for what Adam done. He says, what you done. Well, then you find out, as I was trying to bring, that it wasn't a spear that killed Jesus, it's my sins. He hung on the cross for me. Well, then why wouldn't we want to keep repenting? And saying, Lord, forgive me. Help me and lead me. All right? And it wouldn't matter how close you got to God, you'd still be doing that. Brother Perry Green said that time, Brother Branham told him, said, Brother Perry, said, when you feel God close to you, he said, just tell him that Brother Branham loves him. He meant it. He loved him, and he wanted everybody to tell him, you know. All right, but are you following me? Justification is God working on me and you, and we keep repenting. All right, then we start hearing the word. But now, Brother Dale, what I don't understand about you is that you seem to put the new birth over a period of time. Well, now, I thought that it took 3.5 years to get the disciples to the place that they could receive the Holy Ghost. All right? You know, that's what I thought. Now, if I'm mistaken there, you tell me about it. But, now, then I've tried to explain. If Brother Gary was here, if he's listening, he'll say amen, because, you know, we used to talk about it, and he wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I said, Brother Gary, you're going at it wrong. I said, just forget about trying to receive something. Just forget about, now I didn't mean that he didn't want to do it. I said, just go on with the Lord, and just keep praying and seeking God, and reading the Word and studying, and I said, one day he'll cross your path. And one day he called me from going, we used to call it the greatest battle ever fought, because it was out of the ride to Alabama, where he was going over there hauling films backwards and forth, you know. And we called it the battle of I-20. And so one day he called me from the rest area and he said, Brother Dale, it's over. I said, okay, I told you. But you see, everybody wants to come up at one time. And thank God, I believe God can do it. I believe he can give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I can prove that by the Bible. Because the 3,000 only heard one sermon and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So they had to go through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, in that sermon they heard. But still remember, it could not come until they heard the word. All right. Well, then it may happen to you that way. You may have come to the altar and went through all three right there at the altar and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to say you didn't. I'm going to say amen. Because, see, we'll prove whether we got the Holy Ghost or not by what we do and how we follow the Word. So, you know, that's no problem. But I'm going to tell you, on the average percentage, there's going to be a whole lot more. Because of one reason, and I'm sorry to have to say it this way, But that's the best way to say it. Because most of the churches don't preach you need to be justified, you need to be sanctified, and you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They don't preach it that way. They just preach you believe the prophet. Right? And by not doing that, the people don't go through the stages. They don't go through those stages of seeking after God. Why not? Why not seek after God every day? I thought that was, I don't understand that. But you see, if you don't know what happened, so just go through the stages with me. As we're talking on the people on the internet, or you here, or whatever. If you think you're not born again, just listen to see where you can find where you're at. Then when you find where you're at, you can do something about it. Right? Because we'll try to instruct on further as we go and talk about it. See? All right, so we repent of our sins. We get forgiven. We go to church. We get baptized. Looks like a good Christian, don't it? And that's wonderful. And we're going to get this afternoon where the prophet made the statement. He said, sure. He said, you're believing. And he even says you have eternal life. He said, you're just repentant. Your new birth is just begun. That's what he says. He said, if you die right there, sure, you're going to heaven. I explained that the other night. I believe that. But I believe you're going to have to go there as a foolish virgin or something. We'll get to those points as we go along. All right. But still, if I get there, you get there. All right. But see, sanctification then is to cleanse and set aside. All right. And it's washing out, but it's not just washing out. Now, are you listening? That's why it's not just quitting things. It's cleansed and, you know, sanctified. Washed and cleansed. Something happened. It's a compound word. Cleansed and set aside. See, it's a whole lot deeper than just repentance of your sins. A whole lot deeper point than just going to church and being baptized. It's to go on in a life to where that you can say, God is dealing with me. All right. To bring me to that place. But see, sanctification is us hearing and acting upon the word. That's what the disciples done. They heard the word for 3.5 years. Right. They listened daily. All right. Then Jesus in Matthew 12:43, he said, the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. Said he walketh in dry places, seeketh rest, findeth none. Said he'll come back to the house if it's not filled. Paraphrasing it. Amen. He said he'll come back in. Right. All right. Now the prophet said that's the most dangerous stage. Right. Now sanctification is a dangerous point. More dangerous of a stage than justification. Because you just repented at justification. You start trying to do good. But at sanctification, you get more concerned about your life and your doings. Right. And then you quit cutting your hair. You quit painting your face. You know, you men, they cut their hair off and they start acting right and doing right, you know. All right. See, then that's the dangerous stage, because there's where that unclean spirit will come back. Now, if you need these, I'll be glad to give you. Anybody on the internet, you should know if you know the message. The prophet said a lot of times that devil comes back. He said he don't make you go back to the bars. See, something done happen to you. He don't make you go back to smoking and drinking. Something's happened. He said, but he'll put you in church. That's what he said. If you need these, I'll be glad to find them. Now, see, I've been preaching this for 40-something years. And he said he'll put you in a church. And you'll start doing things in the church. Even become a deacon. I did. See? Start living a good, clean life. Being conscious of the wrong in the things. And he said it's because of that unclean spirit's come back. Because see, we think of the devil. We always think of the devil as a two-horned guy and a pitchfork and the dirty bars and the messed up places. Brother Brown said he ain't there. You know where he's at this morning? Hey, I'm glad there ain't nobody on front pews where we could say wrong about him. Hey, you're on the internet, there's nobody on the front pews this morning, so you know where he's at? He's right there on the front pew. And I admit he's a little closer than that.
Amen.
All right. He's up here telling me right now that you don't want to hear this. And that you've heard it so many times to where that's just old hatched over stuff. Well, he's a whole lot closer than that front pew then. Because he's still talking to us. You say, well, you ought not do it. Well, he talked to the Lord Jesus. All right? Talking to us ain't no problem. It's just yielding to it. And a lot of times I admit I yield to it. And it's like Brother Donnie said, we went outside like our Wednesday night. And I'd kind of, you know, I didn't go too long. And we went outside and about 9 o'clock. We got through the whole song service or something. He said, you could have preached 45 more minutes because people stayed 45 more minutes. Well, you know, then I'm condemned for going too long. Then I'm condemned because I didn't go long enough. Well, you ain't going to win over him, so don't worry about it. Just forget it. But that old root of evil. Now, like I said, if it goes out and it'll come back, it can be a religious demon. Okay? A religious demon wants to go to church. Wants to study the message. Wants to know all the prophet said. Real quick to condemn you about something about the prophet, what he's saying. Become legalistic. Does that remind you of a lot of preachers? That all they preach is hair and clothes and shoes and doings and, you know. And I agree with every bit of that. I agree that it's right. Because I've said to you over and over, if we live like the devil, we've got the devil living in us. So that solves a problem. That's the reason you don't hear Brother Dale preaching every week about hair and dress and clothes. Because you didn't hear Jesus preaching about it. Now you go to the Bible and show me. He was against every bit of it. But that wasn't the way he preached it. When your prophet came, it sounds like he's so hard and hammering, but you listen to him. He says you can do every bit of that and still die and go to hell. He knew what it was to be sanctified. He knew what it was to have the unclean spirit driven out of him. How many people understand how many people have been sanctified and had it driven out? Right. But be careful because it can come back. And when it comes back religious, and that's the danger. You say, oh no, I know whether it's God or the devil. Now you're sure right in the middle of the devil's traps. He said, the devil, when he talks to me, he says, he talks mean and rough. He said, when God talks to me, it's sweet and humble. Now you got it right in reverse. I'm going to tell you, you got it in reverse. Because God generally speaks hard and stern. Get behind me, Satan. Was that what he said to Peter? He didn't say, Peter, now you love him, sweet little old guy. Would you mind walking back over and getting over out of the way? No, he said, get behind me. And the devil, he's real sweet. That's enough to let you know who's talking to you. It's not always, you know, the bad things and the good things, so just take it for the word. But that's why I love to talk about sanctification. because that's what I'm trying to do in you and I in the higher stages, is to those that are born again, is to preach sanctification like Brother Branham did under the sixth seal, that there'd be such a cleansing that God can come on the scene. All right? Soul cleansed and set aside until God can come on the scene in our hearts and our lives. All right? But now, you listen. Everything we get, go ahead, Brother Anderson, pull up number one, but we'll start. Remember how we brought it to justification. That all you get from God must come by faith. A revelation. Need to be revealed to you. Something from God. That's why it is God in us doing it. So look what the prophet of God says about this root of evil. Now he's tying, and I hope you'll listen in a minute when we get one, especially if I can remember it. He'll tie the ages and the church together, because he always does. Because that's why it was so amazing to me when I first heard Brother Branham preaching. And I heard him because I knew a little bit about the doctrines. Not much, but I knew at least about what the Lutherans believed a little, what the Methodists believed, the Presbyterian, the Baptists, the things, and even a little about the Pentecostals and things, you know. And as I began to listen to him, he would talk about Luther. Anytime he would speak about justification, he speaks of Luther. Well, you know what? I knew that was at least a move of God, because it had proved out to be true. And I believe the just shall live by faith, don't you? See? So then justification would be laying upon faith. So listen to what he's saying. Then after Martin Luther preaching justification, John Wesley come along preaching sanctification. He preached that a man after being justified. Now, that's where most people take the ages and they just bring it down, just lump things in. The first work that we would, the first stage was justification under Martin Luther. Now, Wesley believed what Martin Luther preached. Wesley was preaching justification. Come on. Go study your history. Wesley was preaching justification. He came to America to convert the heathen. He ran into the Moravians, or how you pronounce the name, and they were actually the ones that taught him or showed him the message of sanctification. And then when God began to deal with him, he went back home. And he said, "Lo, I went there to convert the heathen and found out I needed to be converted." It wasn't that he needed to be justified. He needed to step into the next stage of God's word, which was sanctification. All right? See, you got to believe in justification. Wesley believed in that, and God gave him sanctification. The Pentecost. I'm talking about the true now. I'm not talking about the junks. All right? I'm not talking about everybody claims. I'll show you. I've got a quote where Brother Brown said a lot of people believed justified, and he said they didn't get it. A lot of people believed sanctification. They didn't get it. He said a lot of people believed the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they didn't get it. All right. But see, John Wesley accepted what Luther had taught, and then God added more to it of the stage of sanctification. So look at it. See? John Wesley come along preaching sanctification. And he preached that a man after being justified. It's all right. But you've got to be sanctified, cleansed, the root of evil taken out of you by the blood of Jesus. Now you can't expect the Lutherans to preach sanctification, because they're not going to do it. Now he goes on down showing that the others won't do it, this won't do it. But listen, Wesley, he may have not preached it from Matthew and called it the unclean spirit going out of the man. But when Brother Branham describes his message, he describes his message as the unclean spirit or the enemy going out. Because that's what sanctification is. It's God working a work in us to drive out that unclean spirit. All right, so then watch what he's talking about. As I said, that's what so thrilled me, because I knew a little about the doctrines. And when Brother Brandon was saying, I thought, well, that is right. The Lutherans preach justification. And I knew there was a lot of other things in between, and the Methodists preach sanctification. And then I knew that there was some coming in there, Pilgrim Holiness, etc. I knew a little bit about those that, came in right in between just before you get to the Pentecostals. And I knew the Pentecostals preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what they called it, speaking in tongues. But that wasn't everybody. There were good people there. It was a move of God. You agree? It was God bringing his word to pass. All right. But see, then that way I could see the ages and I thought, hey, you never heard nobody talk like that. I can see what the new birth is. Brother Brown said the last three ages completed the birth. All right. Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost completed the birth. Now, he didn't say the birth was done. It just brought you to a birth. All right. But now follow on what we're talking about. Look at the next one. The future home where Brother Brown talks about it. Sanctification. All right. And when you ask you are forgiven of your sins, you have only done this, taken that away. So that's justification. He had lines in there representing sin and things, so he evidently erased it out. All right. And watch. But the thing that made you do it is still there. See, ain't that something? You come to the altar, you repent, you come to church, you get baptized, you start doing, and the prophet of God says that the devil is still in there. Well, bless God, you can't tell me, when I got saved, I got saved. Well, what you upset about? I mean, you're proving that you didn't get it because of the actions. Now, you remember the two Brother Random run into? The one that was running around with the woman, and he's heard one speak in tongues and the other interprets, and one of them he talked to it, and the guy said, "You spoke in tongues?" He said, "No, sir, sure." And he said, "You ain't got it." He talked to the other one. He said, "Well, just go ahead, and try to believe and go on with it." He wasn't all dogmatic like the other one. You see somebody dogmatic, you got a problem. All right? But now look what he goes on to say. It's the old root of evil that's still there. Notice, then you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that he forgave you of your sins. Notice, then secondly comes sanctification, which sets our mind in order for holiness. Now hold on to these words. Mind in order. Mind, not brain. Brain is where it comes through. All right, wonderful. Mind. But Paul talks about if the mind that was in Christ be in you. He's not talking about the brain. All right, so keep that in your thoughts. Secondly comes sanctification, which sets our mind in order for holiness. To think right. Taken away. Sanctification is a compound Greek word which means cleaned and set aside for service. Sanctification, I said a minute ago, wasn't just one word. It's two words. Cleansed and set aside. Let me use it this way when we get back. I know we ain't going to get it this morning, but you probably won't have to hear that message on the new birth this evening. I'll still be on sanctification. But set your mind in order. Now get what I said. Not your brain in order. It should come in order by the inside working. So sanctification begins to work in the soul of man. Because Brother Branham drawed a heart. And in that heart, he had a snake. And in that heart, he had a lines which represented sin, future home. Read it. Now, he drawed two hearts. I've told you, you can say what you want to. I believe he was emphasizing the same heart, because what was the reason? Because he never took out the unclean spirit, and he never took the sin out and then put a dove in. He showed one with a dove and one with the unclean spirit and the sin. All right? So it sets your mind. Justification is the forgiving of the sins of the soul. Because that's why the Bible said the soul that sinneth it shall die. Right? Now, then that soul begins to be cleansed by the opening of the Word, or the reading of the Word, the studying of the Word. How many of you was like I was, that when I first got converted, I thought, well, if I'm going to be a Christian, I need to know what the Bible says. I mean, that was my point. I need to know what the Bible says. So I set out to read the Bible. Right? Well, because if I was going to be a Christian, I was supposed to know what it said. All right? But see, then sanctification starts dealing with that inward part of us called the soul to cleanse and claim it and set our mind in order for holiness. Set the soul in line for God to be able to deal with it and to be able to bring us to that place. Now, go to the third one, the message, how can I overcome? Brother Brown calls it, says, the enemy. Now, so we ought to know what enemy he's talking about. Satan, the root of evil, Satan. What happened then when the enemy that went out under sanctification, that was washed out, returned back and found the house not filled with the Holy Ghost? Now the state of the church is joined with the League of the Churches, with the World Council of Churches, and he's explaining what? If you want me to be plain, he's explaining that that's what happened to the church world. When Luther refused, now you'll hear Brother Ram make these statements so you know that I'm saying it right. He said Luther refused to take the furtherment of the word. Now you know he's not talking about Martin Luther. He's talking about the Lutheran. Luther was a man of God. He done the best he could do. But the Lutheran couldn't do. And what happened? When the Wesleyan, especially where you can follow it, when the Wesleyan come along, the Methodist, and the unclean spirit went out, see, those that didn't go on with God waiting on the furtherment of the opening of the Word, what happened? The unclean spirit came back. Just like it comes back in the soul of an individual. It came back in the church. Now you go over to a good Methodist church. I'm not talking about where my brother goes, that they wear bikinis on the beach and I'm talking about a good Methodist church. You'll find them preaching some good things and living some good things. I come up through them things. I'm 72 years old, you know. Right? See, I come up when people was trying to live right. Now, there's still people out there trying to live right and do right. But what's wrong with them? Why won't they accept what you've got? I'm just honest now. I'm not throwing off on nobody. Why don't they just say, well, what you're saying is right? Because it's so simple that you present it till it looks like it's the truth, right? And they say, I can't see that. I don't believe the Bible says that. They'll even tell you that away, you know. And I mean, you can just all load up right there. Well, that's Paul. We don't agree with Paul. We who? There's good people out there. But they're caught by the system of the church. Brother Brown said, I'm not against people. He said, I'm against the system. Right? The thing that made the people be like they are. Some of your parents has turned against you. Some of your brothers and sisters, and maybe even, you know, your mothers and fathers has turned against you because of what you believe. Why? Why is it? You know, when you're simply trying to explain to them about Jesus Christ, right? Well, why have they turned against you? Because see, that unclean spirit had already come back into that system. And it's got to be an individual people to be in a system, because, you know, it takes individuals to make a church system, okay? All right? Everybody understand me? So it's not just a system of something wrote on the front of a building. It's spirits and lives. But just think about it. See, that unclean spirit, that enemy, the devil. And those people are good. They go to church. They worship. You go right over here. We're not throwing off on nobody, right? You go right over here and they're worshiping more than we do. Right? So you go out and you go to churches and they're doing more worship than we are. And see, if it's all on the basis of just worship, what is it? But see, that unclean spirit has come back. All right? That's why we had to be born again. You know, we had to be born again to come out of the church. Are you following me? To come out of the church. You think I don't love my people that's in the Methodist and the Baptist and stuff like that? You think I wouldn't do anything in the world I could to help them? See, it's just that way. All right. But he puts it with the ages. Go to number four, because this is off of How Can I Overcome? It's paragraph, that was paragraph 48 we used. It's paragraph 47. Because of what I wanted to look at, the ages and the system. Now we'll notice when the unclean spirit is gone from a man, he walks in dry places. That's exactly what the church has done. Methodist, Baptist, Methodist, those who believe in sanctification. Right, listen. Then Jesus said the unclean spirit that went out returns back to this church body and finds the house garnished and swept clean, living pure, clean lives. All right. But then if that house isn't filled or occupied. See, that's the dangerous part. You can see it in the ages that it come down. You can see it in the churches. Why they don't accept what you're saying. I mean, all you got to do is just read it to them, right? Why is it that you, and we were the same way, right? Come on. When they first presented water baptism. I mean, it plainly says it in black and white, right? Repent, everyone, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Right there in the scripture. But see, the unclean spirit had put into us Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I listened to Brother Branham when he was talking about over in Africa or somewhere where they were having a meeting and this storm was coming up. And he said, them witch doctors sitting there using the three high names, he said, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to bring those. That's how they make them work. All right. The unclean spirit goes out of a man. You're cleansed and set aside for service. Let's go on down. Let's read a couple. We'll just stick with this, and I'll try to cut it off if I can. Earnestly contending for the faith. Look what the prophet had to say. The first thing you pick it up, now he's explaining justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost to somebody that on the internet system that don't have these, then you'll see the prophet was saying it from the message, earnestly contending for the faith, 1954, 404, the morning service. The first thing you pick it up, this justification, you got in your hand. You got it in your hand. You can't use it yet. It needs to be cleansed. Then you take it in, you wash it, sterilize it, boil it, take all the germs and the out of it. That's what God does through sanctification. Takes the desire of sin out of your heart. Now, hold that point. Because what you hear most people preach is the baptism of the Holy Ghost takes the desire of sin out of your heart. And you'll hear Brother Brown say that. But now here he says, sanctification. Sure, the baptism of the Holy Ghost takes out things. Sure it does. Brother Brown said there's things still left in us because it takes the Holy Ghost and fire. That's future home if you read the book. All right? But look what he's saying now. You can boil it, sterilize it, turn it up. That's what God does through just sanctification. Takes all the desire of sin out, cleans you up. Then you're a candidate for the filling of the Holy Spirit. See, then the word sanctify means to be cleansed and set aside for service. That's the Old Testament. The altar sanctified the vessels and cleansed and set aside for service. So he's tying it together, old and new. Look at the next one. This is questions and answers, law having a shadow. All right? Listen, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from lust and passion called sanctification. The word sanctification means to be cleansed and set aside for service. You get what I'm... Now, that lust spirit leaves you under sanctification. Little lady, nice, goes to church. She sings in the choir. She has to mow her grass with a little pair of shorts on. Let her get sanctified one time and let her put on a pair. You ever heard Brother Brown say that there ain't no way the Holy Ghost feel warm could put on a pair of pants? Stuff like that. You never listen. Look. See, let that man that'll almost have a wreck looking at that woman in the yard, and let him get sanctified one time and go down the street. He'll keep his mind on what he's doing. That's exactly right. If he gazes sideways, he'll turn his head this way. The Holy Spirit says, turn your head. Now he's talking about sanctification. And he says the Holy Spirit tells the man to turn his head. Come on. That's it. There you are. That's right. That's sanctification. The unclean spirit going out of a man. You see, most people preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost is where it goes out. That's not the way your prophet taught it. It goes out at sanctification. The lust and the desires. I can stand here today and tell you that I know that's true. Because I've told you that I came in this message and I knew I did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost when the prophet began to talk about it. But I lived a good life under sanctification. And those problems I had went away. Why? Because I prayed. And I asked God to cleanse me. And I repented every day, and I still repent every day. And asked God to help me. Cleanse me, Lord. Sanctify me. Because it all just keeps climbing higher and higher and higher. You say, well, I don't have no problems. Well, pray for me. All right? I'm just honest. That's the way I mean it. Not sarcastic. I mean it right. Pray for me because I need it. But the unclean spirit goes out. It's supposed to take out all them desires and things. Well, I believe I'm sanctified, but I still just can't help it. I still do this, that, and the other. Well, you might ought to consider that you're not sanctified. I don't go over good, I know, but you might ought to consider it. Yeah, but Brother Dale, I believe the prophet's message, and I believe that. Well, that's all wonderful. Now, the devil does too. Does that save him? Now, I'm going to explain something that I've seen all of my life since I did see the prophet's message about these things. That unclean spirit going out, that unclean spirit come back in, he's a religious demon. Right? And being a religious demon, he wants to go to church. He don't want to go to the honky-tonks. He wants to go to church. He loves worship and music and doing. He wants to fellowship and talk about the Word because it's part of him. You know, he's thinking that way. But we think of the devil being so mean to everything. See, we blame everything on him. Don't blame everything on the devil. It's not all that bad that way. He's so close. If you're going to compare Judas and Jesus, if you was back there without the new birth, you'd say Judas was a better guy until you get down maybe the end, you know, all right. But, you know, he was the treasurer. He was this, that, or the other. Jesus was out there beating them with whips and running them out of the temple. You see that unclean spirit? It don't want to go to hell. Why does he want to get in you? Because he thinks if he can get into you, he's going where you're going. Think on that. because I've seen that for a long time. He don't want to go to hell. He don't want to be destroyed. Sure, he wants to take over. But it's like I've tried to explain it to you, and I know I get in trouble when I try to explain things. But see, Satan don't want to do away with God. He wants to get all the people of God on his side. And if he could do that, it would automatically bring God under subjection to him. He's not wanting to destroy God. He just can't understand why he's not the right-hand man anymore. See, Satan is very, very religious. Now, when we get on to the doctrines that we, if they ever do get there, of the things we don't agree with, I hope you remember this. That what causes a man to go into a doctrine, two souls, seventh under virtue, parousia, etc., River Jordan, etc., doctrines, it cannot be the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit doesn't teach error. But you know, Brother Branham said there that the Holy Spirit and the devil is so close, he said, till the devil can even pass out supernatural gifts. You say, yeah, but Brother Dale, you're scaring me to death. Good. That means you know you need to do something about it. Right? If I'm scaring you the way I preach, you know then you need to do something about your experience. And don't never be satisfied until you get the answer from God. Just don't do it. But listen. He said, that woman, she goes out there, she goes to church, she does it, she comes home, she goes and cuts her grass. Got to put on her little shorts. Why? I've always been plain and blunt. Sorry. I've always said, anything that's advertised is for sale. Right. He said, no, that woman is a pure. She wouldn't do nothing. It's for sale. You just got to meet the price. We was coming up the road one morning years ago from work. And they had this talk show on, and these people were streaking. And they were asking, calling people and asking, would you streak? Would you, you know, would you run down the street with your clothes off? Streak where the people, on, somebody overseas might hear that. Go naked. In other words, you run down the road naked. Would you do that? No. This one lady, they said, would you do that? No. $100? No. $500? No. $1,000? No. $10,000? Well, he just hit her price. That was the thing. And that's what I'm saying about all of us. If we're not truly born again Christians, we got a price. So we better find out and get to praying. Better find out if we are these Christians that we talk about. Because sanctification is the Holy Spirit working upon the soul of man, working out through his Spirit. See? Out through his Spirit to bring his body under subjection. Now, how many times have you heard me tell that the Holy Ghost is inside of you in your soul, working out through your spirit to bring your body under control? Right? Is that not true, what God does? He works from the inside outwardly to control. The unclean spirit comes in, works right back out the same way. Stand the two up there and how are you going to see the difference? See? Oh, one of them believes the prophet. No, you'll find out most of them is in the wrong ranks will tell you they believe the prophet. Brother Branham said, let me run through this in a hurry and then I can go on this evening. Brother Branham says on the future home, you don't have to pull them up, brother. He said that sanctification, paragraph 95, 96, 97, 98, future home, says cleanse that desire out of him Because he's claimed it. Now, somewhere on there you'll find it and you can read. And you'll see that he's talking about claiming that soul. Claiming it. It may not be the exact quote, but then you go on down to paragraph 103, 104, 105 of the same future home. He's talking about claiming it. See? Claiming it. Claiming your soul. The unclean spirit is driven out and God claims it. You get over to paragraph 108 and 109. He's talking about Abraham and how that when he was offered the fact of burying it in his wife, remember, the man was so wonderful to him. He said, I'll give you the place. Bury your wife. Looked like Abraham was a sarcastic old goat. He said, no, I buy it. Brother Brandon was listening last night and said, all of them prophets type Christ. He said, because Abraham, if he'd allowed him to pay it, he said Satan could come along. And if Jesus didn't go to the cross and pay the price, he said Satan could come along and lay claim. Lay a claim on to you. See? All right. I'll buy it, he says. Jesus had to purchase it. All right. Then it's an odd thing. I'm going to have time to get there, but I'll just make the statement. It's an odd thing when you get over, so you put up the last one, number 10. When you get over to the seals, and the prophet is talking about the plan of redemption, right? And look what he's talking about. Then the next mystery was wrapped up around that one. Inheritance was and stuck out here on this side. The claim to so-and-so, and went on down until it's made a scroll, because people didn't have books like this, then it was a roll. How many know that? Called a scroll. Well, a sealed scroll. You know what? You could break loose out here what the mystery of this was and tear it loose, and then you could see what the claim was. That's why everybody preaches basically the seals is the revealing the Antichrist. I differ with you 100%. You reveal Jesus Christ, you can automatically see the Antichrist right away.
Amen.
It's the revealing of Jesus Christ. I thought the whole Bible was a revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at sanctification, cleansing and claiming it. Look under the sixth seal how that he talks about this world and how it's going to go through a process of burning over and things to cleanse it. Why? Because his blood's already dropped on it to claim it. Look at you and I. To cleanse and claim. That's what happens at sanctification. That unclean spirit goes out and the Holy Spirit in the form of that word comes within your soul and begins to build like a baby in the mother's womb. The body is completely formed before the baby comes from the womb, right? That's why the prophet, when I was looking at those things, he said, see, all the elements that came out of Jesus' body, water came out, blood came out, the Holy Spirit came out to come and live in you and I. Go to the seals and then you find him talking about sanctification. The mysterious part, he says, of justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He gets over to the seventh seal, as I quoted to you the other day, and he says, now when all this comes up, he said, don't try to figure it out. He said, go on with the same simple message. He said, because if you don't, you'll worm yourself away from it. Still preaching justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost when he got over there in 64 preaching the future home. He said, if you don't get nothing, get the plan of salvation. It's because the world goes through the same as we go through. The church ages went through what we went through, if you followed me. Luther's justification, Wesley's sanctification, Pentecostal baptism. Isn't that wonderful? But you and I have to do that to be able to come to have the new birth. We must go through those stages. Well, I just got it all when I believed. That's good Baptist. Well, I went through it all at one time. Well, okay, then don't get scared when I say things. Don't get shook up when I say that most people don't. Because I'm not saying you didn't. I'm just saying I didn't. And I'm explaining my new birth. Well, we don't have to all come the way you do. You got to come the way I did. Maybe not exactly the type of journey, but you got to come through justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you come up here right now and go through it at one time, you still got to go through it. We proved that with the 3,000. They went through it. But the 120, 3.5 years before they were ready. Why? Because when they got it, look, they wouldn't, the 120 wouldn't, the 3,000 was born again right here, but the 120 was born again right up here with all of this. They just didn't have a headstone. So they had to have a new birth. Sanctification, cleansing, setting aside. Come on, brothers. Cleansing, setting aside for service. Well, I'm praying that the Lord would come into me and take all of my desires out. That's good. But why don't you just say, Lord, just take them out if you're sanctifying me? Because we just found out the prophet said that's when the things go out of us. No. All right. Well, can we still be tempted? Yes. Well, the difference in temptation and sin, no. You can be tempted. But just don't yield yourself to the temptation. Because it'll turn out to be the wrong thing, right? Let's stand together. I cut a bunch of it to where we can get to it because there's more I want to talk about. We'll review some of it this afternoon. But listen, sanctification is a very dangerous position because you think you're saved. You get a new desires. Right? If the unclean spirit goes out and the old desires goes out, you get a new desire to serve God. This is just sanctification. You get new desire. You want to do right. You want to live right. You want to go to church. You want to believe. You want to dress right and act right. But that don't mean you're born again.
Right.
It had been all right back in Wesley's day. But this is another day. That's why they can't understand Brother Branham. They think he taught the new birth different. They can't understand that he's having to preach the ages. What if Brother Branham, I'll give you this and we'll start and make you think a little. What if Brother Branham said the new birth is just a baptism of the Holy Ghost, like people are saying? He said, what if he said that? You know, that would mean that I can prove Luther never had it. Wesley didn't have it, and Pentecost didn't have it. So I've run into that doctrine too. Had a man come right here. I sat right down there in Gillsville at a supper we had and told him that Brother Branham would talk different on what he was saying. He came right here and said that Luther and Wesley and Pentecost didn't have nothing. I had sat right down there an hour or so before then. He said it, and I just made a roundabout way talking about where Brother Brown said that they had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They had the new birth. Even he called it the new birth of sanctification. He come right on up here and preached it. You know why? Because he couldn't preach error. You know what? People believed him. They believed in Brother Branham. I'm sorry. I just try to believe what he says. And if you had it only as justification, then you would only have the water coming out of Jesus' body. If you had sanctification as all you got to do, then you would only have the blood that come out of Jesus' body. Right? But to have the new birth, there's got to be a life come out of that body that would be able to come back into you and I and give us a new birth. Go ahead, brother.
539, Spiral Book.
539. Anybody have a need?
Created me clean, Lord, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Created.
You know our sister has a desire for duty there, Lord. Him not being here today. He's got a congestion in his chest. And she's concerned about all of us because we all have some kind of a coughing or some kind of a form because it's in the day and the time. We just ask you to come on the scene. Be with duty there, Lord, and be with each one. Bless and let your love be made manifest in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit from me. Hey, man, you've never had back trouble. See them walking and know what they got. We're just going to give you this and just, you know, for you to carry that with you. Father, we see our sister and the way she's walking and we know and realize what's wrong. Her back. Lord, we just remember the times and the things where that our back would hurt so much that we couldn't do nothing. And we just ask you, Father, to let your love be transmitted to our sister. And let your grace be there to take away this problem. Satan, we don't have nothing but the ability from our Father to rebuke you. But you must obey our Father. Our Father's speaking to you now and saying, take your hand off. We condemn this hurting in our sister's body now in the name of Jesus Christ. Believing that by your stripes, our sister is healed, Lord. And all is finished. That one that we've been talking about this morning, to come down now and cleanse this body from this hurt position. We condemn that demon in Jesus' name. Anybody else? And renew a right spirit within me. You love him? Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. Let's just give you two. Okay. One for it and one for the baby. Father, our sister's asking for someone else. And you just let the custody suit come through. Let everything be all right. Let everything be finished for this baby, Lord. Father, just touch our sister. This old cold and bother that we condemn it in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Spirit within me. You love him? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. That's your desire. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Just sang that to one another as you're dismissed. Father, bless the people and take care of them. Give us all a safe journey in Jesus' name. Create in me a clean heart.